Hey, this is Mick Henderson. I'm the general manager of Commonwealth Agri-Energy, an ethanol plant in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, and just recently past chairman of the Renewable Fuels Association.
Well, Mick, it wasn't your ordinary Thursday this week, as you were able to witness President Trump signing the 2018 Farm Bill into law at the White House. What was that like?
It was a who's who of agriculture and of course, see the president and some of the main players of the Ag Committee in the Senate and Ag Committee of the House, and Sonny Perdue and his staff. It was really a who's who of everybody that's got anything to do in government or in business in agriculture. Really an interesting experience and front row seat for me.
When I think about renewable fuels policy, I, of course, go to the renewable fuel standard. But in talking about the Farm Bill and its significance to your industry, why is the Farm Bill so important?
Well, first I would preface with I'm no expert on the Farm Bill. I can talk till the cows come home on the renewable fuel standard. But the Farm Bill is more of that, I'll call it the needed backstop infrastructure certainty that the farmers that are our lifeblood need for their businesses. And, you know, it's the certainty that the new Farm Bill gives farmers that that this is just a shot of optimism just when they need it the most. My particular business is 100% farmer owned. You know, there's some that aren't, you know, some are corporate America and maybe have arm's length to the farm, but my board of directors are all farmers. It's a farmer owned cooperative called Hopkinsville Elevator Company with 3,500 members. And those are patrons that are, paid by the bushels delivered. So I'm joined at the hip. So if the farmer, and in particular, I'm a row crop farmer, a corn farmer that supplies me with my raw material to process into fuel ethanol and other products, it's essential that they grow corn efficiently and year to year have the certainty of an ongoing business. And the banks need that, you know, other implement dealerships need that. The whole ag economy needs that certainty, and that's what the Farm Bill does. So would not detract at all from its importance. I wouldn't call the renewable fuel standard more important. It may be more specific to our ethanol industry, but Farm Bill, although much broader than ethanol feedstock, corn, much broader than row crop. It's much broader than farming. Shoot, it's a food bill more than it is a farm bill. So I'm tickled to death to represent the Renewable Fuels Association, the ethanol industry in general, to witness what we need in our business to be successful, and that's farmers to be successful.
Mick, as you think about this uncertainty, whether it's with the Farm Bill that expired September 30th and now on the 20th of December signed by President Trump, or maybe it's the trade uncertainty that we're experiencing right now in the U.S. with the tariffs between China and the U.S., also the renegotiation of NAFTA, whether it's directly or indirectly, the impact that this uncertainty has had on the renewable fuel sector and specifically your ethanol operation, tell us about that.
Well, we're upside down. The whole industry is negative margin. It's just called the gross margin, price of corn to the price of ethanol. You can't make money in the business when you can't sell your ethanol at a price that ultimately is profitable. You can't pay your banks. You can't pay your suppliers. You can't pay for your natural gas and electricity to process it. Some in our business are actually shutting down, going out of business, selling part, if not all, their businesses to others that can make a go of it. But our business in particular is situated logistically and by design. We paid down our bank loans. We're going to be okay. But, you know, it takes certainty in the marketplace that there's enough of us there that can survive to be there long term. Yeah, we might survive the next 3 months. I'm not sure that, you know, 10%, 20% of the industry might get digested. I don't know. In a mature industry, maybe that's how it ought to be. But with the potential growth, with market share domestically and an export market that is actually going gangbusters this year, it's not enough. But without several things, you can't be successful in fuel ethanol. And it takes a farm bill, and it takes farmers that are willing to take that risk and plant the corn. But it's also export markets. You can't have tariffs in China that are, 70%? You can't have E15 stifled from year-round sales. That's something that President Trump promised early October and is essential for a domestic market growth. So it's just one piece. The farm bill is one piece, and you couldn't say that tariffs are going to destroy us. You couldn't say that the farm bill, without a farm bill, we would be destroyed. There's several moving pieces that are required to be successful in our industry.
Let's talk about two of those pieces in particular that you touched on. The tariff situation, you think about China and potential of U.S. ethanol exports to that country. Also, the tariffs between the U.S. and Mexico that haven't been removed yet. And then year-round E15 access and a pretty small window of time for the EPA to go through the rulemaking process in time for the summer driving season, Mick. So looking at the potential in 2019 for those barriers to be removed, how optimistic are you?
Well, if I were to describe our our experience with the bureaucracy, I'd say no way. If I were to have faith in when the boss says do it and it gets done, which this administration seems to be able to function that way sometimes, when you think they can't, it's possible. USDA, whether it's Sonny Perdue or his deputies, they are all expecting that the EPA can pull it off. So I'll say optimistic with a grain of salt. Since we have to keep their feet to the fire, we have to help them all we can to get it over the finish line. It's really May 1st, not June 1st, to really make it functional for the summer. Sorry, a little bit of background noise. I'm in an airport. Been a busy day.
No problem. Now, with the reed vapor pressure restrictions, this week we've heard reports of an ethanol plant in Nebraska, one in Minnesota, that are slowing production. There are some layoffs being reported. How much of a difference would that year-round E15 make for a plant that's in that sort of a financial situation, Mick, where they're literally looking at weeks or months and they don't know if they can last the year? Can that RVP waiver be enough to get them from upside down, as you described it, to the other way?
Well, it's a market signal, and you know, if you've been around long enough and saw how long it took for E10 to migrate to be today 10% of every gallon sold in the U.S., I think that's overly optimistic to think we can do it in 1 year. I think it's going to take a long-term approach. When you just do it at the retail stations with, you know, infrastructure at the retailer, that's going to be a slow movement. When you start seeing it available at terminals and available for retailers to just pick it up at and take it to the station and sell it in a tank instead of having to have the on-site infrastructure like a blender pump, I think it can happen a lot quicker. But those signals have to be that from the government that it's market signals that it's happening, it's real, and the value's there year-round. But I don't think it solves anything. You know, think about it. If China just took the 300 million gallons that they imported from U.S. last year, I'm talking 2017, they could turn on the spigot pretty quickly. And if you've ever seen the pictures of Beijing or other major cities in China and the air pollution, they need an oxygenate. They need 10% ethanol for air quality solutions. That's a quicker solution. But I, again, that's expecting a lot out of China that is usually manipulating to get cheap prices.
Mick, we've covered a lot, and I know you're traveling. Was there anything else you wanted to make sure we talked about today?
Well, you know, it was a good day for agriculture. It was a highlight of my career to be able to witness such a thing. But it does force you to reflect that it's not all solved in the signature of a pen. It's going to take a lot of hard work for a long time, and we shouldn't let our guard down. There's still a lot of things to do for agriculture to be successful, and, of course, my particular part of agriculture, fuel ethanol.